Welcome to the Carrollwood Players Theater Modcast. My name is Jim Russell. I'm the Managing Director of Carrollwood Players Theater, and I'm pleased to meet you. I decided to call the Modcast, because my title, Managing Director, has an M and a D, and it kind of rhymes with podcast. I hope you like the title. Today, we're going to talk about all the exciting things coming up at Carrollwood Players Theater. We're going to meet the director and one of the cast members of our upcoming original musical, Paper Walls. We're going to learn a little bit about one of our upcoming fall-winter productions. I'm going to talk about the state of Carrollwood Players Theater and what we're doing to continue to thrive and survive as we reach the final stretch of a very difficult year. And I'll be telling you how you can help. And finally, at the end of the podcast, we're going to hear a performance by one of the cast members of our upcoming production of Pop Goes America. So sit back, relax, and prepare yourself for an enjoyable 30 minutes of the Modcast. But before we get started, can we please just take 1 minute to boogie? Thank you. Okay, I know I promised a minute of boogieing, and that was less than a minute. But statistics show that too much Bee Gees may result in listeners turning off the Modcast. But I did think that that song was an appropriate lead-in to talking a little bit about how Carrollwood Players has survived a rather challenging year. And I have to say the number one reason we have survived is because of the support of our amazing Carrollwood Players community. We have volunteers that participated in online shows in the early stages of the pandemic, and we have amazing, generous donors who have been so gracious in helping Carrollwood Players keep the bills paid and the lights on while we waited out the storm. Unfortunately, we're not 100% at the end of the tunnel yet, but we're going to get there. We're so excited about our fall-winter season beginning in September with Cabaret, and we know things are going to get back to normal soon. We're also very fortunate that for many years, the board saved money for a rainy day. But I'm going to tell you right now, we still need your help. We have some really fun fundraising events coming up soon. We're having Karaoke Idol on Thursday, May 20th at the theater. And you can participate by voting for your favorite singer in our karaoke contest, and you get to vote with dollars. Now, the karaoke contest has 15 amazing singers signed up, and you can come in person to watch them, or you can watch from home via our private exclusive Zoom. Now, we're selling tickets to watch by Zoom for $5 because we want to make sure we don't get Zoom bombed by strangers. And strangers won't pay $5 to Zoom bomb someone. So pay your $5 if you would like to watch from home, and then we'll give you 5 free votes. Or you can come in person to our socially distanced, safe, healthy in-person event and vote with dollars in person for the karaoke contest. It all begins at 8 o'clock on Thursday, May 20th at Carrollwood Players. And you can find out more information at carrollwoodplayers.org. By the way, it's free to attend in person, but you do need a ticket. And what we hope is that folks who come and participate in person will vote with their dollars to help us raise some funds to keep Carrollwood Players going. And we'll also have a means for folks watching from home on Zoom to vote from home. And starting at 9 o'clock, there will be open karaoke. We have a professional karaoke guy from Natural Resonance Entertainment, and he's a professional with all the great equipment and bells and whistles. So please come support us at Karaoke Idol on Thursday, May 20th. Now, we're also planning an online auction for July, and we're currently collecting some amazing auction items that you will be able to bid on during our online auction. By the way, if you happen to have an amazing item that you might be interested in donating for the auction, we're not looking for yard sale stuff, but we're looking for amazing auction stuff. So maybe you have some gift cards that someone gave you and you don't want them, and you could donate them to us and we could put them in some kind of a themed basket and then we could auction them off for our online auction. If you do have a wonderful item or service that you can donate for us to include in the auction, feel free to drop me a line at jim.russell, RUSSELL. That's jim.russell@carowoodplayers.org. With a little bit more help from our community, we'll be able to see through the next few months until things really get back to normal. You can make a donation by visiting our website at carowoodplayers.org and hitting the donate button. You'll have two options online. One is you can make a one-time donation of any amount of your choosing, or you can set up a recurring monthly donation for an amount that fits your budget. You can also mail us a donation by check to Carowood Players at P.O. Box 270116, Tampa, Florida 33688. We really appreciate your support. We're going to continue making the arts accessible for people from all walks of life in our community. And we have so many exciting things coming up. Just this past Saturday, I had the opportunity to sit down in the lobby at Carowood Players and talk with a couple of very talented people from our upcoming original musical, Paper Walls. Gabe Flores is a local playwright, director, and composer, and he wrote, composed, and is directing our production. I had a chance to sit with Gabe and talk about the show.
Inspiration for the story was originally a book I was reading about a group of college friends who got into a pickle and had to get themselves out of it. So as I was trying to bring that story to life, I couldn't really have their story told. So I thought about some time that I spent on the road living on a bus, touring with marching bands and just life on the road and kind of being at the crux of finishing college, having that, oh my Lord, moment where you don't know what's happening next. And it kind of was an aha moment for me where I realized this is a story I need to tell or I would like to tell. And I wrote a musical previously that was kind of about 20 somethings and kind of what's next. So I kind of already knew that brain space pretty well. And I just started writing songs. And then once I kind of had the idea, the songs just kind of kept coming. And the show at that time was called Miles, the musical. And everybody kept asking me, well, who's Miles? So it was kind of like Hamlet where, everyone thought that there's some character was named Miles. It's just supposed to be about them driving on the road. Then there was a rock band I was listening to, and they talked about how, being on the road with the closest people you've ever been with, there's still walls between you, and sometimes they're paper thin. And then there was another aha moment where I thought to myself, oh, that's the title of the show. So I kind of reworked a few things, and the show really came together very, very quickly, and that's where Paper Walls came from.
So the tagline for the show is Discovering America, Discovering Ourselves. Tell us a little bit about the journey that these just graduated college students take in the show.
Well, the show starts with six friends: Hadley, Frankie, Micah, Charlie, Cole, and Daisy. Essentially, the show starts very excited because they graduated college that morning, they've planned out their road trip that afternoon, and they are leaving that night. So the show starts with a lot of high energy, very, very excited. One of the motifs in the show is Away We Go, so that's the opening song, and they're very excited, and they're just talking about everything they're going to see. And I think kind of where the tagline of Finding America, Finding Ourselves is they set out to just see America and just kind of get away from college, their parents, real life for a little bit, but in doing that, they actually find who they really are and who they're going to be when they get home.
One of the things that I'm really excited about is the live musicians that you have for the show. Can you tell us a little bit about them and the instruments they're playing and how that impacts the performance of the show?
In our show, we have a live piano, which I am playing, which I'm very honored to do. We also have a violin, a cello, and an upright bass. So when I was originally writing this show, I was experimenting with writing string arrangements and just adding more depth to the song instead of it just being, you know, just piano music. My first musical was a very rock musical, so it was guitar, bass, and drums, and, you know, it worked really well. And I think listening to more and more musical theater, listening to a lot of different ways things are arranged, I kind of was experimenting, and then I just found different ways to kind of, you know, take the thirds and the fifths of the chord and putting those into the cello or the violin, and then having them do melodies on top of other melodies and having counter melodies. And it's very nice because I feel like the piano is a wonderful instrument. You can play a lot of notes at the same time, but then when I'm playing one thing, I'm like, oh, I actually want this other melody happening at the same time. I can say, oh, I'll just put in the cello. Our musicians are our top flight musicians. We have a couple music majors and a couple people who are all state, you know, high school and, you know, first chair in college. So we do have some very, very top flight musicians. They're all wonderful. With the nice thing about them is I can just give them the sheet music. They got to play through it one time and they got it. So we have some, you know, very, very strong musicians.
Tell us about a song in the show that kind of epitomizes the message.
I think every character kind of has their own moment to talk about what they feel in the show. I think Daisy's character is looking for the details and everything. So that's her first song. A character named Cole, he feels like he's lived under the shadow of his parents his whole life, and this is the first time he's done something for himself. So he sings a song called Meant for More. So again, every character kind of has a little piece of the puzzle. I think probably the finale, when it all comes together, because all of the different melodies of the song, the show come together. I think that's when they finally say everything what they needed to say throughout the whole show. That song's called Autumn Leaves Fall. That's when they are back home after their summer on the road together.
Paper Walls is May 14th through 29th on the main stage at Carrollwood Players Theater, and tickets are available at carrollwoodplayers.org.
Modcast listeners, it's your lucky day, because not only did I have the chance to chat with Gabe, but one of the cast members was really kind of looking for a break from standing on ladders and moving lights around. So he was more than happy to join me to talk a little bit about his character and the show.
Hi there, my name's Dylan, and I play Cole in this production of Paper Walls.
All right, Dylan, tell us all about Cole. What is his story?
Cole is a straight-A student through and through. He's been that way his whole life, but not necessarily by his own volition. He was made that way at his parents' behest. They've been very controlling over the choices he's made throughout his whole life, but this road trip has given him the opportunity to do things his way for once, and that's the arc of his characters that I hope to fully embody.
Are there any parallels between yourself and his character?
Too many to mention, frankly. Way too many to mention. I had a similar relationship with one of my parents, but recently I've been really striking out on my own. I've been able to open up my own bank account. I've been able to get my own car. I am moving out shortly into my own apartment with my SO, and I feel like I'm able to embody this character in several ways, some of which I won't spoil. I think that if I tap into what I know about that kind of life, it will definitely help me be a better Cole.
What would you say is a reason or two why you think people will enjoy the show and leave very satisfied with what they've seen?
So I think one of my favorite things to talk about is coming of age, is transition. I have many books, I have many movies, I have many albums and songs that are about that subject matter, and I love them. Because they're so easy for anyone to relate to. Anybody, young or old, has gone through some kind of transition, but this one is one of the biggest transitions of all, where you transfer from this world of school and homework and seeing your parents to this world of, you're on your own, kid. Like, this is your life now. This is no longer a life that's riding on your parents or on your friends or on your classwork. It's the kind of thing where you have this one last hurrah before you go out into the world and make it your own.
Describe Paper Walls with three adjectives.
Impactful. Nostalgic. Heartwarming.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about your background in theater. Is it new to you? Do you have a lot of experience? What else have you done? What else are you hoping to do?
Since I was a kid, since I was like a little kid, since I could walk, I've been acting and singing. Singing in the way that I would just sing along to Jimmy Buffett, my mom's car, and acting in that if my sister poked me in the shoulder, I would throw myself on the ground and scream that she hit me. My first play, my first musical, was in fifth grade. Before Newsies was even on Broadway, we did a stage adaptation of Newsies at
Awesome.
Roosevelt Elementary. And I danced in the musical number Seize the Day. And I think that was the spark. That was the thing where I was like, wow, this is fun to sing and to dance this and to act. And I didn't do theater for a while until I was 12 and 13 when I did Seussical and Shrek in Ruth Eckerd Hall. And then in high school is really where I started to ramp up my theater career. And I was getting in show after show after show. I have been with Paperwall since day two.
Okay.
Not day one, because I wasn't the one who made the musical, but
Right.
I was there for the first audition. I witnessed the cutting of songs, the adding of songs, the changing of notes, and seeing it change was it was impactful for me because this whole musical really embodies change. It embodies growing up while still trying to keep yourself. And I think in a meta sense, this musical has done just that. It's changed, it's gone through so many iterations, but the core of it has remained true.
So Jimmy Buffett, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How about you take us out, end the interview with just a short a cappella Margaritaville?
Oh yeah, sure. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Dun, dun. It's not just that. It's not just that quick little splash of Jimmy Buffett. We have so many amazingly talented people on the team for this musical. So I hope you'll come and see my fellow actors. I hope you'll see the people working on tech. All of the work that they put in is just magical. I can't put it any other way. The talent is just magical. So please come see Paper Walls.
Well, friends, one of the segments I hope you'll come to enjoy on each episode of the Modcast is a preview of a production coming up in our next season. And today I'd like to talk with you about The Normal Heart. The Normal Heart will be appearing on our Black Box stage this November as part of our fall-winter season. And it has a special place in my heart because only 2 years after the original New York production, I had the distinct honor of playing Ned Weeks, the lead character in the play, who is based on Larry Kramer, the author. The Normal Heart opened in New York in April of 1985 at the Public Theater, part of the New York Shakespeare Festival. Now, the play is set in New York in the early 1980s, and it's a powerful, passionate, and at that time controversial play that first treated seriously the poignant and devastating subject of AIDS. The 2011 revival won the Tony Award for Best Revival of a Play, and it is a very powerful play. I'd like to share with you a snapshot in time. I have an excerpt of a 1983 interview with Larry Kramer on the Today Show. This was before he wrote The Normal Heart, when the AIDS crisis was first exploding.
On After Eight this morning, a puzzling disease that is spreading. It's called AIDS, AIDS. It breaks down the body's immune system, and 400 people are dead from it. Researchers are concerned that the rate of the disease is accelerating now. With me in New York is Larry Kramer. He's co-founder of the Gay Men's Health Crisis Task Force, and you've been trying to educate people about AIDS. How many friends have you lost to this disease?
20.
20?
Yes.
And you have still more friends who are sick?
Very ill. Jane, can you imagine what it must be like if you had lost 20 of your friends in the last 18 months?
And you don't know why?
No cause, no cure, people in hospitals. We can't. It's a very angry community.
Angry at whom?
We feel like a disenfranchised community. We can't seem to get the government, the National Institutes of Health, to accelerate the research that's going on. We can't even get the mayor of New York City to acknowledge publicly that there's a health emergency crisis going on. We feel very isolated.
Down in Atlanta, 20 full-time physicians and 80 part-time professionals are looking into AIDS. That's not enough?
Those men, and they're doing wonderful work at the CDC. That's epidemiological research. That's the keeping of statistics. I'm talking about medical research, laboratory research. Hospitals all around the country, doctors are begging. There are $55 million worth of grants at the NIH waiting to be judged. In this disease, many people feel lies the secret to what causes cancer in general. Why is the NIH dragging its heels so?
Are raising the possibility that people are dismissing it because it strikes mostly the gay community?
There is no question in my mind. If this were happening to you and the white, straight, middle-class community, it would have been attended to a long time ago.
The Normal Heart by Larry Kramer, coming to our black box this November. Well, we only have a little bit of time left for today's modcast. And before we go, I would like to talk a little bit about a special show that I'm working on right now with some amazing talented people here at Carolwood Players. It's called Pop Goes America. And the concept of the show is to teach the story of American history with pop music. I don't know where this crazy idea came from, but it literally popped right into my head one day, a few years ago, and I started rewriting the lyrics to well-known pop songs that people are used to hearing on the radio and replacing the words with stories about American history. We did a workshop production of the show a few years ago at Carolwood, and now I'm very excited that we'll be producing it on the main stage opening in June, just in time for a closing performance on July 3rd, the day before Independence Day. Perfect timing. So in the show, we tell the story of America from the early European settlers right up until today. In Madonna's song Vogue, we have replaced the words and made the song about women's voting rights and the suffragettes. So the name of the song is now Vote, and the words are all changed to tell the story about how women fought for the right to vote around the turn of the century. In the very first few minutes of the show, we have a wonderful rewritten version of Lou Bega's Mambo No. 5, but it's called Freedom No. 5, and it features Thomas Jefferson and the Continental Congress singing about the fifth and final draft of the Declaration of Independence. And of course, Thomas is trying to convince the fellow members of the Continental Congress that this is the right version of the Declaration of Independence. And finally, they all celebrate and realize it is. And we have a great choreographer for this show, and you really don't want to miss this number, because we have some fantastic Broadway-style choreography with some real Fosse moves. Bob Fosse, a very famous choreographer from Broadway. And it's quite entertaining to hear the Continental Congress singing about the Declaration of Independence and dancing a big blockbuster Broadway dance number to the tune of Mambo No. 5. During the World War II portion of the show, we have a lone American soldier on a landing craft crossing the English Channel and singing a message to the German soldiers that he's about to meet. And the words are rewritten to Adele's Hello. So I think you get the idea. And the show is a lot of fun, has a lot of comedy, and some very moving moments as well. I don't want to give too much away, but I do want you to come see it. And tickets are actually already on sale. You can get those on our website at carolwoodplayers.org. This is a show I'm really enjoying directing, working with our choreographer and musical director, Lynn Camerari, and an extremely talented cast. And I have a special treat for you to close out our modcast today. Mark Scott is a new face at Carolwood Players, and he will be performing in the show. And we have one rather moving number in the show, which is about 9/11. And it's the words are rewritten to the song Hallelujah. And it's in style, the style of the Pentatonix version of Hallelujah. And Mark does sing in that number, but he also sings the lead in a Bruno Mars remake of 24 Karat Magic, which we call 24 Karat Gold. In that number, the 49ers are going west for the gold rush of 1849. So Bruno Mars' 24 Karat Magic becomes 24 Karat Gold and tells the story of the gold rush. And Mark is fantastic as a playa in that song, but he's also a wonderful classical singer. And I have a special treat for you now, which is Mark singing the original version of Hallelujah. Of course, our words will be rewritten. I don't want to give them away. But if you do want to hear those words in our very moving rendition of this song, telling the story of 9/11, then come see Pop.
Heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift. The baffled king composing Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to her kitchen chair. She broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. But it wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I've told the truth. I didn't come to fool ya. And even though it went all wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah.
Well, friends, that's all the time we have today. It's 5 minutes to places somewhere. Until we meet again here on the Modcast, I'll see you at the theater.